This is a replay of the Wednesday, June 3rd WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best deal, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And I feel betrayed, absolutely betrayed. Yes, in grammar school, I learned this rule. It was beaten into me, and I decided I would never violate it. And for the most part, at least in writing, I don't. And now it turns out it's completely made up. Oh, man, I knew those teachers were plotting. All right, you've probably learned this at some point, I would think. And that is, it is incorrect to end a sentence with a preposition, such as with, to, about, for instance. And, you know, probably teachers would circle it in red, you know, and, you know, give you points off for all this. The problem is, it's made up. Well, it was a misunderstanding, 17th century misunderstanding, never meant to be a hard and fast rule in English. All right, and the myth, of course, stems from centuries of trying to force English to behave like Latin, which, of course, is completely different. Yeah, where word order doesn't matter at all. Modern style guides and dictionaries overwhelmingly agree that ending a sentence with a preposition is perfectly acceptable. And, you know, to me, to my ears, it sounds illiterate. But even distinguished writers such as Shakespeare and Jane Austen regularly ended sentences with prepositions, so I defer to them. Yes, it's for many people, it's the most natural choice. Now, by the way, this does not negate using a preposition for no darn good reason, such as, where are you going to? No, where are you going? That's sufficient. You don't need to have to there. All right, so I'll stand by that no matter what. However, apparently, do we need to review prepositions, by the way? And, they're simple everyday words that show other parts of speech, like nouns or pronouns, or how they're connected. So basically, of, in, to, for, with, on, from, by, about. And so, this is very often it will show direction. She walked to the train, or the book is on the table. We left at noon. But they also introduce an object. Prepositions are parts of speech. All right, so we do this every day. And as I say, for basically my entire life, of which I've been aware, you know, I don't know what happened pre-grammar school, but there is, when I hear things like, that's the show I was telling you about, I just cringe. Well, it turns out it's perfectly fine. Yeah, who are you going with? No, with whom are you going? Apparently doesn't matter anymore. And so apparently a preposition standing. Sentence structure where the preposition is separated from its object. Yeah, what are you looking for? The preposition for is separated from the object. Yeah, for what are you looking? You say, no, apparently you don't have to do that anymore. So now the rule is that a preposition need not appear only directly before its object. Yeah, for what are you looking? See, makes perfect sense to me. But they say it doesn't flow naturally in conversational English. Well, it certainly does in writing, as far as I'm concerned. So, the never end a sentence in a preposition rule did not originate in English. Of course not. Why would it, right? In fact, ending sentences with prepositions have been the norm since Old English. Instead, the rule came, because it had to come somewhere, right? Nobody in the 17th century just made it up. No, it sprang from 17th century grammarians who admired Latin and believed English speakers should copy it. No, just no. As I say, word order is completely irrelevant in Latin. And it's so relevant in English. So apparently the guy to blame is Joshua Poole. He's credited with adopting the rule. And then poet John Dryden popularized it. He was England's first poet laureate and a literary critic, don't you know? And so here we go. All this time, yeah, turns out it's completely made up. So there you have it. And the rule against preposition stranding, you know, not being right before the object, is a feature of Romance languages in general. And so, you know, whether it's Spanish or Portuguese or French or Italian, they tend to follow it. But English, however, is a Germanic language, so sentence structure calls for different rules. Well, now you've got one. Yeah, I'm just beside myself. I'll get over it. But still, do not add prepositions where they are absolutely not needed. Where are you going to? No, where are you going? All right, I'm glad we had this chat. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Victor in Silver Spring is starting it off tonight. How's it going, Victor?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Good. My friend got his Skywave radio, the Sea Crane radio.
Yeah.
And he loves it.
Oh, good.
He had to go visit his brother in the hospital, and he was able to get some stations inside the hospital.
Nice. Okay.
So, anyhow, I figured out the station that's coming in under WGN. It's that station in Pennsylvania.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder if they are broadcasting according to their license specifications.
I don't think so, because I can hear them in the background.
Oh, well, that's interesting. So what I'm going to do, actually, WGN has the world's best chief engineer, and I am going to pass this along to him, because, you know, the only clear channels on 720 are us and Kotzebue, Alaska. So I know you're not hearing that. So
Wasn't there one in Las Vegas?
KDON was. It's off the air now.
Oh, okay.
And that came about because of the breakup of the Clears when they started to do that in, I guess, the latter 80s. They dropped that in. It was highly directional. But, unfortunately, the owners felt, as many do these days, that the land was worth more than the license. So they just, you know, sold the land and turned the license back in.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out what's going on with WBT.
Now, we all are. By the way, I just looked up that Pennsylvania station and WHYF. It's a daytimer, so it should not be on at night, period.
Yep. I think they're EWTN.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. All right.
So, anyhow,
yeah. So yes,
I discovered the Mystery and Suspense Radio Network.
Uh-huh.
And if you go on there, you can hear old radio shows from Suspense. They play The Whistler.
Yeah.
They play Mysterious Traveler, a mutual network show. CBS Mystery Theater, a whole bunch of other shows. It's really interesting.
Yeah, they're available through radio.net, but now, can you select what you want to hear, or is it just whatever they're broadcasting?
Unfortunately, it's whatever they're broadcasting.
You know,
there are specific networks, like I could say, play Dragnet.
And, right.
I'll hear nothing but Dragnet.
But you know,
or yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Oh yeah, just absolutely love that intro. And the deal is, though, a lot of that stuff is available on YouTube, and you can kind of pick what you want to hear when you want to hear it. So there's a number of sites that, you know, feature old radio, but as I say, sadly, it's not a secret anymore. Most of it's right on YouTube.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I can't get YouTube, and I'm waiting for Alexa to let me have YouTube.
Oh, yeah, it's a real shame that that should be more user-friendly, particularly if you cannot see the screen, and it's just not. But, yeah, yours truly, Johnny Dollar, was just the absolute best. And I think the opening was the best part of it.
Also, I have upstairs in one of my rooms, I got a dresser drawer full of tapes. I got a whole bunch of Lone Ranger and Sergeant Preston of the Yukon and the Green Hornet. That was from WXYZ.
Sure.
Back in the 30s.
Yep.
And I had a neighbor over, and she brought her 10-year-old son, and she says, I want you to hear what people listened to in the 30s and the 40s. So I dragged out a Let's Pretend episode from 1947.
Yeah. Well, good.
And what's so great is also, over the years, I collected bloopers. Where the microphone was turned on a little bit too late or something.
Yeah, Kermit Schaefer. Kermit Schaefer.
Mispronounced something.
Right. Right. Like I say, Kermit Schaefer was the guy who really popularized that with Pardon My Blooper and all the other things that came after it. But it broke my heart when I found out that some of those were actually recreated and made up. They weren't all.
Yes.
Yeah, it broke my heart.
Yes, the one about the Uncle Don.
Yeah, that all hold the little bastards. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, though there's many of them, because when he moved to Miami Beach, I think he was living on Fairway, he actually used people on that street, because I had friends who lived on that street, to do some of the recreations, especially their kids if they needed it. And so I thought, oh,
yeah.
God, this is so sad. I believed it. Yeah, but not true. So, but some of it is, of course, very real, as you know, and it was a lot of fun. He originally used to work with Alan Funt on Candid Mike, you know, before there was ever TV. And Alan Funt, of course, became very famous, and Kermit Schaefer did not at all. Kermit Schaefer tried to sell the franchise to Dick Clark Productions more times than I can tell you, and Dick Clark Productions waited until after he died and his widow needed the money for them to pick it up. Sad.
Yeah, I mean, some of the bloopers were absolutely funny, and I think some of them were made up, too.
Yeah, well, they were.
Because on one of my blooper records... Yeah. That I transferred on to cassette.
Yeah,
they have somebody in the studio decided to have a little bit of fun, and they did a commercial for New York Telephone.
Yeah,
if you're being annoyed by annoying phone calls, hang up on the sucker.
Yeah, right.
You'll ram his you know what in jail.
Yeah, right. So, exactly. No, that wasn't legit. But yes, absolutely.
I mean, they just had a little bit of fun. They also did a commercial for, I think it was Chesterfield Cigarettes.
Oh, yes, Go to Fire Island and you'll survey. I know all the words. I sung them just recently at dinner. So I won't sing them here, but yeah.
No, you can't.
No, I know I can. But it's funny. It came up because someone we were with had mentioned Fire Island, and John had thought it was on the North Shore. And I said, oh, no, it's in the South, Fire Island. You remember? Go to Fire Island, and you'll survey. Yeah, right.
So,
tight little island. Okay, that's enough. So anyway, yeah, I think we all...
And it's fun hearing the old commercials, too.
I
heard for Palisades Park.
Right.
And also, when I'm listening to Gunsmoke, they play the L&M commercials, and I remember the joke that was going around. How many letters are there in the alphabet?
Right.
You say 26. No, it's 24. L&M got kicked out for smoking.
Oh, perfect, exactly. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco and all that. Or call for Philip Morris. Yeah,
Yeah. And also, here in the old... now, Boss Radio 66, they play the old commercials because I've heard... here is Gary Lewis and the Playboys for Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah. They're all around, and Leslie Gore and all that. Coke was smart. There are a ton of them. But of that ilk, my favorite still, and I don't know how their manager convinced him to do it, but was Iron Butterfly for Ban Roll-On.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that commercial. Yeah,
it's like, how on earth did that band agree to that? But they did, and it was on the air. But, it was great when commercials were actually creative on radio, and particularly in the 60s when they were going after teens, and they, you know, nighttime, 7 to midnight would be the big day part, and they'd have all sorts of great commercials. And, of course,
Stan Freberg had some really good commercials.
Well, yes. Stan was wonderful.
A commercial for Terminex.
Yep.
And you hear these two termites making a bet about the guy falling through the floor.
And the
guy does fall through the floor, and the other termite says, "Well, Charlie, pay up."
Right. Now, I've debated this, and I always heard that it was, but I'm not sure. But you probably seen or heard them anyway. When Stan had the Pacific Air account, and they say that's what drove him into bankruptcy, and I do not think that is, but it was hilarious. Deal about for frightened flyers and all the things that were in it. I thought it was a great campaign, but
my history teacher got a real kick out of Stan Freberg's history of America.
Oh yeah, of course. Yes,
and her favorite was. He's talking to Betsy Ross, George Washington.
Yes.
And Stars and Stripes, I wanted polka dots.
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite bit like that is on the album, and I think it might be on that same album, where they took away our Murray Hills, where it's all about direct distance dialing. And I thought that was
just... Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
But at the end, the British decide to surrender.
Right.
And the reason why is so they could apply for foreign aid.
Right, exactly. No, and funny you mention that, because normally if my albums are just too molded, I've learned to throw them out after the deal with mold spores decades ago. But I had to save that. So a few weeks ago, I actually cleaned the entire thing up, including the cover, and brought it back from a ton of mold, and of course had fun listening along the way.
I think one of the funniest bits was he's Custer.
Yeah.
And he's telling his wife, "I promise, dear, this is my last stand."
Right. No, he just brilliant, and did a number of commercials, and they were all just priceless. I mean, the Chung King commercial where he described the can like it was a sports car, just wonderful stuff.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
All good stuff.
Well, let me get off here so others can get on.
All right. Well, good to hear from you. You're sounding good. Keep me posted.
I will.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thanks. All right. So, 888-876-5593. We will talk with Nick in Baltimore. Okay, Cindy in Chicago got some test results. Eduardo from Tampa, who we didn't have time to talk to last night because I ran out of time. So, if I ran out of time on you, too, remember, call early, like now, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
When I see her walking down the street, I get so shaky and I feel so weak. I tell my eyes, look the other way, but they don't listen to a word I say, and I go to pieces and I wanna cry. I go to pieces and I almost die every time my baby passes by.
Boom, 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 boom.
I tell my arms they'll hold someone new, another love that will be true. But they don't listen, they don't seem to care. They reach for her, but she's not there, and I go to pieces and I wanna cry. I go to pieces and I almost die every time my baby
passes by. Well, I remember what she said when she
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yep, Southern Pacific, and it was Ken from Chicago last night who called and said he wanted to hear that. There it is, I Go to Pieces, 1990 on Warner Brothers. It was a single. Also on some albums, too, but was definitely a single. All right, so what do we have here? I believe, yes, as I said at the end of last night, we would get to him right away because he called back, Eduardo in Tampa. So welcome back to WGN Radio. What's up?
Hello, can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, good evening. Yeah, sorry, I missed your call yesterday. Oh, before I forget, I got to request a song here. Roadhouse Blues by the Doors.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I got a couple of interesting stories here. One of them is called The Human Library. This started in Denmark. Ronnie Abergel. And they would talk to people like for like 30 minutes,
uh-huh.
Kind of like talk to them like if they were checking out a book, what did they say,
uh-huh.
About different topics. I think it's in 80 countries. And they had this on the CBS Sunday morning show.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It's a not-for-profit deal. I love their slug line underneath it, unjudge uh-huh. someone. So, yeah, I started in Copenhagen. And so it's obviously about combating prejudices, helping them to talk to those they would not normally meet. Never a bad idea. And you say 80 countries?
Yeah. I wonder if you could, like, check out, like, here in the U.S., you could do, like, a check out with you. I mean, your show or something like that.
I don't know.
And, like, a half hour with Riley.
Yeah, I don't even, not sure how
but
that would
wind
up. But
if you have to be
up,
in somewhere in Arizona. Phoenix area. So.
Oh, well, I don't think anybody in the Phoenix area knows I exist. I'm trying to keep it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting about that. I like this other one, David White. This guy was a principal at Berkson Peterson.
Uh-huh.
And he comes back and becomes a handyman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This is in, Atlanta, outside Atlanta.
Yeah, he had been there, as an elementary principal, elementary principal, and after 33 years he mm-hmm. retires and then returns as a janitor. Well, why not? And so it's interesting that he retired at 58, which is rather young, and he was expecting it to be blissful and easy and all that, and he didn't like it. So... So the principal of the year, he got that award a few times, didn't want to keep hanging out with the cat and miss the community. And, you know, they'd already hired a new principal. So deal was that they had an opening for a janitor, and he sent his resume. And that was the deal. Now, he tipped off the current principal that he was going to do it. His title is site manager, but he's basically the handyman. And, power washes the bathrooms and inspects the fire extinguishers and everything else. And so good for him. And, the nice thing about that is that would probably be a real no-stress job. All the things that came with being the principal, you don't have to worry about them anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's more hands-on now.
To say the least. Yeah, so so that was the deal. And, it's interesting. Some people are spending all this time saying, I can't wait till I retire. And a good portion of those, it's not the way they expected it. And, I don't know myself because I make doing nothing an art form. But many people want something to do for reasons I don't really understand, but they do.
Yeah, I think I would be bored if I wasn't doing anything. I could not stand just...
Well, go do what you want to do, whatever it is.
Yeah. There's got to be, like, some hobby that you can turn into, like, a fun thing.
Well, like, obviously, if it's a hobby, it better be a fun thing, or why are you doing it? You know, all ideas for it to be fun.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely give out, since I call many people, I would be doing something like speeches.
Okay.
You know, like,
well, sure. Yeah. Sure. They got things like Toastmasters everywhere. And for people who are gluttons for punishment. I mean, for people who enjoy that. So sure. Absolutely. I don't think that you would have a dearth of things to do. You'd find something to do. And in this case, the reason that it made the news was because you don't normally go from principal to handyman. And so it made a nice little human interest story. And that's, you know, all over the internet, which is why I knew about it. But, you know, sure, I think a lot of people who find out that retirement isn't so great do find other things to do. And I hope so anyway, because there's also studies that show how close to retirement very often people die after the fact. And you say to yourself, oh, man, I hope it wasn't a boredom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the job's going well. The other day I was touched by this one lady. I actually gave a family member a card.
Oh.
So when they get out, you know, say hello. But and this was in Spanish, that because they didn't talk in English.
Good. Well, you
so
see,
I was holding their hand.
Right there.
Yeah, they were very sick. And, I mean, you hate to see some of these people, the way they have these bruises on their body and all that from the problems they have. And it's good that you're there to talk to them. You know, a lot of people are friendly. Some people can, you know, can be upset but because they don't want to be there. But,
yeah.
I know this one lady was in a lot of pain. She says, oh, well, they already gave me all these shots, but that's not helping. But when they came up to the room, you know, they took notice, and hopefully they gave her something that was going to make her feel better.
Right. You sure hope so. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to see anybody in pain.
You're going down for MRIs or CT scans. I'm doing a lot of that stuff. You know, they're going through a lot of those.
Sure.
X-rays, you know. So they got to find out. I mean, so they got to do these tests. It's not all about just putting stuff in people's body. They got to do these tests so they know exactly what they're going to be, you know, moving forward as far as the next treatment. So.
And there you are.
Yeah.
And you're taking.
I mean, when my mother was in St. Joe's over here, you know, they did MRIs, CAT scans, and all that. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. No, testing obviously is life-saving. Now, there are times when it's overdone. There are some tests, for instance, that seniors probably shouldn't do that they advise, but it's up to the individual to read up on that and decide what works for them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but sure, more knowledge the better, but hopefully not at the expense of the patient.
Yeah, and I saw it too, where they got, I guess, on one of the floors, they got like some kind of rehab center. So I guess people go there whenever.
Well,
you know, to do therapy. Yeah.
Absolutely. And for individuals who have had an illness, for instance, that's kept them bedridden, even for a few weeks, getting back into the swing of things does require a certain amount of rehab.
Yeah.
You know, and the biggest thing, sure you have signs everywhere, is fall risk. You want to make sure they do not fall.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, because that's big insurance problems. So, absolutely. Well, I'm glad you're liking it.
Yeah, yeah. There'll be some more interesting stories. I mean, and the people, you know, that work with me, you know, if you have a question, you know, they are very helpful. And
good.
The soups are very helpful, too. So, yeah. We get along pretty good, so
excellent.
Yeah, hopefully there'll be some better stories, you know, and you know the job will progress well, and you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing them all. Always good to hear from you, Eduardo. Thanks for the call.
Yep, I'll call again. I guess what's today? Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
You might be in late because I know you got the Stanley Cup, so right after the game.
Exactly.
Be
right. It'll depend on how they play, you know, and so we'll see. I'll be here.
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, I'll call if I got anything interesting to say.
Great,
okay,
appreciate it.
Thank you, Raleigh.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yes, indeed. And go back to the other studio tomorrow. And, of course, we have permaconstruction here, and they close the road for, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And so I keep my fingers crossed that it's open at 2 so I can get back. But we'll see. Changes routinely. So what do we have? I believe we'll be getting to Nick in Baltimore. Oh, and Mike in Cleveland. All right, I got a request for him coming up. We played a couple of them yesterday. Hope we heard it. And Cindy in Chicago, who's got some results. All right, so plenty to talk about. talk about, but right now I want to talk about one of my favorite things, the Sea Crane Company. And the CC Wi-Fi 3, like I was saying last night, this is so timely because we just got one for the studio here so John could hear the show while he's streaming, and it was just a snap. First he said, okay, I've unboxed it. Yeah, come set it up. I said, I don't have time. Set it up yourself. And yeah, I was a little kinder than that, but basically that was the message. And so, you know, he said, well, I don't know. I said, well, just figure it out. And I'll tell you what, within a few minutes at most, he figured it out. And that's a testament to how easy this is. So even if you are not very familiar with internet radios, I'll tell you what, the CC Wi-Fi 3 is just a snap. Now, more important than that are a couple features you need to know about. One is that I'm assuming you've got a wireless access point or a Wi-Fi router in your house, and you know that some things connect just seamlessly, and other things, man, it's buffering central, right? Well, the CC Wi-Fi 3 will connect to even the most lackluster wireless access point or Wi-Fi router, so you'll have no problems. And, you know, that's part of Bob Crane's mantra of great reception. So, yes, even great reception when it comes to the internet with the CC Wi-Fi 3. Firstly, it sounds really good. It's rich, it's full, it's clear. It's a lot better than listening on your smartphone. And, of course, no static, no dropouts. It's seamless that way. And the best part, you get thousands of radio stations from all over the world, actually, and some individual streams as well. So you'll never be wanting for something interesting to hear. It's all there. Now, the beauty of it is there's no apps to download and no microphone listening in. Don't you love that? No ads on the screen, no monthly fees, and it's got a full-size remote control. And it pulls in a strong signal from farther away on your Wi-Fi router than probably anything else you've got. You go to ccradio.com, look at the CC Wi-Fi 3. If you got any questions, they've got answers. Give them a call, 800-522-8. 863-800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, oh man, go to ccradio.com and look at the CC Wi-Fi 3. Now, yes, it's available at Amazon, but before you do that, make sure you go to the Sea Crane Company and take a look at it. Yeah, you'll be just amazed. The CC Wi-Fi 3 from the Sea Crane Company. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, it was a medley of his hit in the U.S., certainly in front of the mic, but man, behind the mic, I'll tell you what, Norman Smith, Hurricane Smith, if you will, or as John Lennon used to call him, Normal Smith, but it's a long story. In any event, he engineered all of the Beatles stuff through Rubber Soul. That was the last album that he had engineered, and he did all of them, because what had happened was he was trying on his own when he was young to be a musician, and whether it was the drums or the piano or whatever. He was a jazz trumpeter for about a minute and a half and played some sessions as a pianist, but not doing well. And so he joined EMI as an apprentice sound engineer in 1959. And he was not young then. All right. And so, sadly, he died in 2008, and he was already 85. So that's the deal there. But he was the engineer on all of the EMI studio recordings by the Beatles. Yeah, so there. Yeah, he did over 100 Beatles songs, I think. But he did a number of other acts as well, but that was probably the biggest one. And then in 71, Norman used a pseudonym, Hurricane, and had a number two hit in Great Britain, Don't Let It Die. And it was a demo of a song he wrote. He was actually hoping the Beatles would record it. They didn't. But Mickey Most heard the demo and said, "You need to release this." And so then, of course, that's followed by "Oh, Babe, What Would You Say?" And, man, that was it. All right. And did a number of other things that just didn't hit here. But ultimately wrote a memoir. In fact, the title was John Lennon Called Me Normal, so you can see what that's about if you're interested. And I don't know whether that's still in print or not. All right, so that was Mike in Cleveland who wanted to hear that, and that, I think, is the third. We played the other two last night. So, Mike, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, hello, Raleigh.
Yes.
How are you doing?
All right. So hopefully you were listening, heard your request last night, and now you heard this one.
Oh, yeah, but you're always true blue on it anyway. Even if I don't listen, yeah. I know they're played.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, the goal is to have you hear them, you see.
Oh, yeah. So I wanted to talk about some gentleman called about old-time radio shows.
Yeah, Victor.
Now, if he goes up to Internet Archives, and at the top of the page it'll say audio, and it'll bring down a page where it brings up all the audio, and you just click on old time radio, and it'll show dozens of shows.
That's a great idea. And actually, the website is simply archive.org, and that's all you have to do, archive.org. And then I'm looking right now at audio. So yeah, that's a great idea. Hopefully he can do that.
And they have single episodes, like CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Oh, yes.
Has over, I think, 1,399 episodes.
Right.
And they play, they have all the episodes on one page, and you click on the first one, and it just keep playing.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was great. That was like, you know, from the 70s into the early 80s. Hyman Brown came back to the medium long after that. And I think it was like 74 through 82. And some of them were great. Some of them were scary as hell. I remembered I'd be driving across the country, and there was one. I don't remember the episode, but it scared me enough that I put the dome light on in my car. And then I realized, well, wait a minute. That's going to make me a beacon for anybody from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But anyway, a lot of fun.
Well, it's called Theater of the Mind.
Yes, of course. And he made it till just before his 100th birthday. So imagine all the things that he saw. And he was back in the early days of radio and all that.
Well, a lot of people consider him Mr. Radio Show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he created Inner Sanctum, which ran 41 through 52. And, that's one of the ones, man, frightening as hell. Yeah, and wonderful. Oh. Nothing like a Theater of the Mind, but so many other things. Bulldog Drummond, Dick Tracy, Adventures of the Thin Man, and all that. A ton of stuff.
Oh, yeah. And comedy and everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so it's funny because he was starting, and again, he would have been 100 years old about the time he had died in 2010. So this is a guy who was, you know, before radio was widespread, he was in it on WEAF and all that. And he was on the Goldbergs. So many things. So, yes, a wonderful mind. And, yes, CBS Mystery Theater, I thought that was just the best.
Yeah.
Pleasant dreams.
Yeah. It's not even dead now. I mean, they have some websites that play new stuff now.
Absolutely.
Just made. You know, it's not dead.
No, that's true. It is from the standpoint of being widespread. By the way, hang on a minute. Don't go away. I'm blowing the news.
Okay.
Stay right there on WGN Radio.
Baby me, in my heart you are the one. Look around and have your fun. Whoa, 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 you be my
down the sea. What your love has done to me. Can you see love in my eyes? Love that leaves me full of sighs. Whoa, 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 you be my little baby and baby me. Baby, baby me, little baby, baby me. Maybe I will baby you with a bunch of love for you. Whoa, 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 you be my little
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, it is Buddy Holly and Little Baby. If you're saying I've never heard it before, well, it was never on a single in the U.S. It was recorded in late 57. And Owen Bradley, in fact, produced that. It was done at Decca in Nashville. And interestingly, its first release was on a 45, kind of an EP sort of thing, Great Britain in 58. And so never as a single here. But it was Cleveland Dennis from Elgin who requested we play that. And now we have. All right, now back to Mike in Cleveland. Sorry for the delay. Here we are, Mike. What else are we talking about?
Oh, okay. This radio and the internet is one of the greatest inventions of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
The computer.
Well, yes and no. I think that what we're seeing now, we've been leading up to it since the start of the Industrial Revolution. And you're right that it is the game changer, much like in caveman days, the wheel was the game changer. Well, digital is the game changer for us. And it does come with an upside, no doubt about it. But it comes with a lot of downside, too. In fact, just tonight I was talking with some very concerned grandparents who are saying, you know, their kids don't listen to things, they don't read. All they do is take a look at their smart screen, and that's it. So we were saying, well, where's the imagination in that? And I have no idea where it's going. I'm no sociologist, but I do know that there was nothing better than Theater of the Mind. Those shows were wonderful. The people looked exactly like we wanted them to look, and it was just a wonderful time.
Okay. And when I used to listen to shortwave radio years ago, all over the world, now I can listen all over the world again.
Well, yes, you can. And this time hear things that aren't necessarily propaganda-based.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, I don't have to scan no dials no more.
Right, right. No. Although I miss scanning dials. You know, those old analog radio, man, especially on AM, you never knew what you were going to pick up.
Oh, now you do. It's nothing.
Yeah, well, that's yes. Yes, I'm afraid you're right. Yes, indeed.
Well, there's no fun in that anymore.
No. No, but like anything else, like I say, there's upsides and there's downsides. But I hope we don't lose the concept of theater of the mind entirely.
Yeah. Well, I got radio to listen to sports.
Well, there you go. Well, that can be theater of the mind, depending on the game. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But we beat the Yankees 2 games already.
All right.
Out of 3.
All right.
I love it.
Yeah. There you are. All right, living large.
Anyway, have a nice night, Raleigh.
You too.
I'll talk to you later.
Thanks for talking.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Yes, indeed. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And that is going to take us to Nick in Baltimore. Nick, welcome back to WGN Radio. What's up tonight?
Hey, Raleigh. Thanks again for taking my call.
Always.
Usually I don't call back-to-back, but... I had a couple of questions because I was surfing the web.
Uh-oh.
And with a friend of mine down in Arkansas, mm-hmm. Rick Maher, and we were searching stations out, and he asked about his big station at 540 and WGTO.
Oh, Gainesville, Tampa, Orlando, from the Gulf to the ocean.
Right. Is that, yeah.
Yeah, it was a daytimer for years.
I never picked him up, but he did.
It's FLF now. It's now it's licensed to Pine Hills. It didn't used to be. But it's interesting because it always had been a daytimer. And it was the kind of little station that could. They were GTO, I think, until about 1994. They went on in 1955, and they were top 40. They were 10,000 watts daytime only, and the city of license was Haines City. And it was co-owned with KWK in St. Louis. And like I say, the call letters meant from the Gulf to the ocean. From the Gulf of Mexico to the Atlantic Ocean, and we used to say, we're Gainesville, Tampa, Orlando. And then they changed it to Cypress Gardens, the little city that had the big tourist trap stuff. And they ultimately got 50,000 watts. And, you know, they used to refer to themselves as the most powerful station in the nation because they were down at 540. And, of course, 50,000 was the most you were allowed. Of course, they didn't bother to say that they were a rundown at sundown. But they were top 40 until the mid-70s. They were still top 40 when I left Florida. And, they were, for a daytimer, especially a daytimer in truly the middle of nowhere, they were great. And then later they changed to country. And I don't remember when they went full-time. I think it was about 78, thereabouts. I don't know, but it's somewhere in there. They had gone country. And they won like Small Market Country Station of the Year or something. But in any event, the problem in the 80s, of course, came, you know, GTO lost market share to FM competitors, period. And so then what do you do with a radio station with 50,000 watts and great coverage but no listeners? Well, you go religion. And so they did for a while. And then for a minute there, they had Cruise and Oldies 54. But they didn't manage to make any money, so I think after that they like went all satellite. And then the guy who started Home Shopping, which actually started on the radio in the Tampa area, Bud Paxson, purchased GTO, and that's when he dropped the call letters, and it was sports talk. And so that's the deal, and I think Clear Channel picked him up in the 90s, but by then I don't care.
Well, there was another station that went away, and that was WKKO.
Cocoa Beach, yeah. I think Mike.
Daytimer.
Yeah, I think Mike Joseph consulted that for a while.
Oh, did he?
I think so. Yeah, and that was a good little radio station there for a minute. Yeah,
that was there's a clip of that on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Now what happened? Somebody buy that and take it off the air because the GUL is on in Tampa now, right?
Yeah, I don't know what happened to them. I was long gone. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're gone, obviously.
Yeah, no, they're absolutely gone as far as that goes. But Tom Tyler was on that radio station before he went to Miami and before he went to Philadelphia. So they were certainly still rocking in the mid-70s when I left. But like I said, I know Tom Tyler was there, and I think there were 8:60 a.m., so I remember, I think.
8:60
a.m. Yeah, right. And absolutely. I remember them well. And, you know, of course, I remember their studios, too. It was like this little house, but in the side where the garage would be, they had the call letters painted on it. But in any event, this was a big
deal.
That's
all on YouTube.
Okay, well, if you lived in Merritt Island or Cocoa or Titusville, this was your radio station.
Yeah.
You know, okay, you can also argue WRKT, Rocket Radio 1300, but, you know, KKO at 860. That was, they gave the surf reports, and they played the jingle, Time to Turn, if you were on the beach, you know, all that. And, and they did all the high school reports like everybody. And, you know, so it was a very big thing in Cocoa. And I think there was MEG at 920, and which became MEL. And Cocoa, of course, was not a market. Other than Cape Canaveral, what the hell's in Cocoa? You know, it's a very, very small place at the time. And Daytona, like MFJ in Daytona, much more influential in Florida at the time. You know, if you were, what, if you were from
what was the,
go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I was just going to say, if you were promoting records, you'd be less concerned that KKO played it. But if MFJ and Daytona played it, now you had a story to go, you know, tell them in Tampa or Miami or whatever.
Where were they on the dial?
What?
MFJ.
Oh, God. Where were they on the dial? This is terrible. And I knew people who work it. I think that they were 1450. I think they were, another 1450.
They were a graveyard channel.
I think so, yeah. And so that was...
Wasn't the other one in Cocoa 1300?
Oh, in Cocoa, you're talking about RKT 1300, Rocket Radio, yeah.
That was, okay.
Yeah, right, and that was, I think, I don't know what, it's still on the air, but they signed on in 59 as Rocket Radio WRKT, and it was 1300, you know, but, you know, by then, KKO already had the market, but they RKT, arguably, you know, everybody had their favorites, I guess. But like I say, neither of them were that influential in terms of what they were playing.
Well, you might ask, why am I so fascinated? I've always been fascinated with Florida, for some reason, you know, because I like the weather and all that. But, the stations always fascinated me down there. I don't know why. It's just fetish I have.
Florida was tough in the 60s. Now, not all of it. I mean, if you're in Haines City, who the hell cares? But if you're in Miami, what you had was you had a southern wage base and a northern cost of living. And so, because all the tourists and all that, man, rents were, you know, by comparison, high. And yet, what you were making from the radio station, you know, $125 a week or whatever, was low. So, That was the big problem there, but there were a lot of innovative radio stations in the state for sure. And of course, back then, Tampa and the West Coast was very different from the East Coast in many ways. So, absolutely.
So. Well, before I go, the I remember as a kid DXing. You had Victor on earlier, and the guy before was talking about radio, and the whole thing with DXing back in the day. I remember the station I used to always get from Miami was KAT,
which is weird that 1360 you wouldn't normally think that would, but there you have it. I'm not sure anybody wanted to hear it back then. That was before they went talk, when they were kind of like an MOR station. But
when I heard it, it was talk.
Oh, okay. So that's latter 60s. Yeah, okay. Like 67 or later.
Well, it was middle of the road before that.
Yes, absolutely was. You betcha. So, and I mentioned before that my favorite studios were WKAT because the self-supporting tower was in the center of the building and the building was built around it. And, I remember, in the control room, you had a view of the tower. And it was all that old Western Electric stuff that they were still using into the 70s and, boards and transmitters and all that. And, KAT, I just thought it was a jewel right there on North Bay Road.
Wouldn't it be scary during a storm, though?
Never bothered me, but who knows? I guess there's somebody who's worried about that. Now, I wasn't there for a hurricane, God knows, but I don't know if anybody was, actually. But,
what were they? They were 5,000 watts a day and one at night, I think.
Right. Non-directional, just that, that beautiful self-supporter. 1759.
I used to get them in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that's interesting that 1360 is what you'd hear, because it wouldn't be necessarily what I'd expect you'd hear. But then again, I'd have to take a look at what all was around it between you and them and all that. Interesting. And of course,
ABB would be off the air at night.
You know, but I mean, certainly you talk about the other end of the state, probably got the Big Ape in Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. I would get them before they switch pattern.
That was a water-cooled transmitter. I think it was licensed to Green Cove Springs, And a beautiful water-cooled transfer. But too often kids would come with not tied, those detergent balls that used to come in different packets. And all they throw it into the water and it would foam and, you know, all that. So, the Brennans owned that before Stan and Sis Kaplan. And the Brennans had some wonderful radio stations. Of course, Big Bam in Montgomery, actually, Alabama. It was a daytimer, but boy, that radio station mattered. And in fact,
how about PDQ?
Compared to PDQ locally had its day, no doubt about that. There were a number of, and PDQ had some good years and some, you know, good top 40 times, but APE had that signal, which is what was going for it. But when the Brennans had APE, like I said, they had Big Bam in Montgomery and daytimer, but the Beatles were going to play it until the Beatles found out that it was a segregated audience and they pulled out. And so they didn't. But Cyril Brennan and all that, you can look up them sometimes. They were very interesting operators, I thought. They had Chattanooga, too. Memories.
Well, anyway, I appreciate your time, and I'm having fun with the radio.
Good.
I appreciate your program.
Great to hear from you. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for the time. Thank you.
There were three brothers, the Brennan brothers. They're Bill, Cyril, and Dan. And I'm sure they're in the Alabama Broadcasters Hall of Fame, no doubt about it. But they really should have been in everybody's Hall of Fame. And they were an interesting group of guys, and had some good stations. They had a VOK, you know, when we're talking Birmingham as far as that goes. But Big Bam, I always thought, was pretty amazing as a daytimer. And then, of course, APE. So, all right. So we'll stop talking about that and start talking about whatever's on your mind, like Cindy's test results. That's coming up next on WGN Radio.
I'm just like an old rooster that we out here on a hill. Just like an old rooster that we out here on a hill. People under scratching, ooh, Lord, Big Bill is just trying to live. I'm just like Job's turkey, I can't do nothing but barber. I'm so poor, baby, I have to lean up against a fence to gobble. Yeah, now, baby, yeah, I believe I'll change town. I'm looking up to down. They're men in the mine, baby, they all looking down on me. Yeah, I'm down so low, baby, I'm low as I can be. Yeah, now, baby, I'm down as I can be.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Big Bill Brunzi, that was Don in Beloit who wanted to hear that. And it's interesting, of course, by the 30s, he was a major artist on the Chicago blues scene. So he appeared with everybody from Memphis Minnie and Tampa Red, Delonnie Johnson, Sonny Boy Williamson. And in 38, he was at Carnegie Hall. And in fact, after that concert, it was a John Hammond concert, people start calling him Big Bill, Big Bill Brunzi. And it's interesting because that song, yeah, it's the blues, all right, looking up and down. was released on OK in 1940 as Big Bill. Doesn't even say Brunsey, but that was a deal. Born in Mississippi before the turn of the century, and died, sadly, in 1958 in Chicago. And William Lee Conley Brunsey Bradley was his actual name, but on many of the songs you just heard Big Bill, and that was one of them. So there you have it, 888-876-5593. Cindy in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio. Tell me about those test results.
They were, you know, the funny thing was, though, they were all normal and everything, but I had to do it the old-fashioned way where I had to have a phone call.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, when I had the mammogram, she said, do you want to, you want your results by email?
Mm-hmm.
I've been there for 2 years at Lutheran World Class Hospital. Okay, I'm trying to figure out how to say this condensedly.
Oh,
without,
can't
you know,
wait.
Then, okay, their email system was so mixed up, I couldn't even access it. I've had programming classes in
college. All right, so the bottom line is you didn't do email, you did a phone call. They called, and, you know, when the results are normal, there's no problem with them calling. Usually, if they call you and say, you really need to make an appointment and come in, that's the time to worry.
But you were, you know, it was supposed to be so easy to get the results by 10:30 the next day on email. I never saw anything that mixed up.
Well, who cares? You got the results now.
I know, but just the point. I mean, these people are being paid.
Well, you gotta pick your battles. I don't think this is one to worry about.
But then, anyhow, we're talking about grammar. In business English, the teacher said you never know in my class who has the background and who doesn't. And the guy from Nigeria, black man from Nigeria, got one more point than me.
Uh-huh.
And, just one more point. And in the class, and then you were talking about commercials. I don't know, you don't watch TV, but this would be something maybe you would be interested in. They had, and it was around in February, I'm sure they'll repeat it. On PBS, they had a documentary about some Chicago ad agency and all the ads from like the how the ads were like move from New York, the New York company, ad company, big ad company kind of went bankrupt or I don't know. And it all went to Chicago, and all the ads from like the 50s, 60s, 70s that we grew up with. You know, it was just, I mean, if I look back on it, when I was a child, all those ads were like my whole reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then,
One of the changes is when you were a child, there were a very limited place that you would be able to hear or see the ads. There were a limited number of television stations, a limited number of radio stations, and that was it as far as anything recorded. Well, today, it's a vast universe, so it's very different today.
And I don't even watch, much. I just watch PBS, jewelry TV, Spanish novellas, soap operas, PBS, what else? Maybe I'll watch Sanguli or one of those Me TV stations, you know, or something like that. I don't. But I remember that commercial you were talking about, remembering that smoking commercial. Pardon our grammar, but Winston tastes good like a cigarette
should. Yep.
That one came to me, yeah. But then, and I was just so floored. I mean, so floored about this email system. It took the wind out of me.
Well,
I got my
but you see, here's the deal. You got the results, so you got what you wanted. So that should be enough. Don't clutter your mind with everything else. It doesn't matter in the scheme of things. Not to you. Now, if you told me you didn't have the results, well, we got another problem. But you got them. So next.
No, but I wish I could use the system. But I mean,
Well, no need to even think about it. You got your results.
Well, I told the guy he wanted to get it up and running. He wanted me to do a video thing on the phone to verify me. I'm like, no, thanks. I'm never using your system again. So, yeah, I got my pasta salad done. Yeah, that came out real good. And I went to TJ Maxx. I didn't even want to get behind the wheel of a car. I was so rattled by it. I'm sorry, I was. Stupidity.
Then why don't you step away from it and look at the bigger picture and realize that it's not worth your angst?
No, well, that's the thing. I mean, it's always something to make me miserable.
Well, don't... There it is. All right. It's not something that's making you miserable. You are making yourself miserable, and you are choosing what will do it.
Yeah, I guess so. When I was young, things like this wouldn't bother me. It would just be like, oh, well, I'm just going to Macy's and look around, go for a drive. And now that I'm older, I'm just in a rut.
Well,
but then I went to TJ Maxx and got my notepad for things to do, and they moved. They have the notepads for things to do, like lists of things to do, right by the cashier. And they moved him somewhere else. And I was like, I came here, and she helped me find it. So I got that, and I guess Rich's has ice cream, Blue Bunny ice cream for $2.50 for a half gallon, 2 for $5. So I'm going for that tomorrow.
All righty then. Good deal. We'll talk to you soon. Worry not. All is good. The results are normal. You got your call.
Yeah, everything's fine.
All right, good deal. Thanks, Cindy. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. But yes, you are absolutely in charge of what yanks your chain. And poor Cindy needs to give herself a break. All right, so we'll get to Eric in Minneapolis and Chris in South Carolina. In fact, we're going to get to Chris in South Carolina next. Sorry about that, Eric, because he waited so long yesterday that I said, call back and we'll make sure we get you on the air, and we will. Then we got a couple of requests from Robert and Dave, and room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked her way across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Shaved her legs and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. She was everybody's darling, but she never lost her head. Even when she was given head, she says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go doo 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 doo.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's embarrassing, downright embarrassing. It was Jack who requested Lou Reed, Walk on the Wild Side, and I hope to hell Adam censored it. Oh my good God, 1973 RCA. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that other than I'm really sorry. All right, so let's see, Chris in South Carolina, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey Raleigh, how's it going?
All right, you tell me, Chris, what's up?
Yeah, I picked up a new station that night on where the Boston WBZ is. Is it 10:30?
Yes, 10:30.
Yeah, I picked up a station out of Orlando, Florida.
On 10:30?
Uh-huh. Yes, Party FM.
At night? I mean, I know the station. It's yeah. It's ONQ. It's an Oviedo station. But you shouldn't have, but there you have it.
Yeah, like if I move it in the direction away, I can pick it up clear, and they play like Celtic salsa music, and like the 90s music, 2000s.
Yeah. I'm just stunned that you're picking that up, because I'm pretty sure I know that pattern, and I just, now it's at night that you're picking them up, right? Not in the day. I could almost believe
at
it.
At night.
Yeah, right. I almost have a better pattern in the day. Well, I don't know what to tell you. They got 1,700 watts at night. Now, see, in the day, they're non-directional with 45,000 watts. Like I say, I could almost understand that. Was it right at sundown?
Yeah, like after your show go off, listen to
all right, that's not
WBZ.
That's not sundown. All right, I don't know other than perhaps they were not broadcasting to their license parameters, because you shouldn't have been picking up that 1,700 watts directional at night where you are.
Yeah, I think they forgot they lowered the power down.
I think you're right. I would almost bet money on that. Hopefully the BZ engineers know about it and are going to file a little complaint.
Yeah, but I did record some of the songs off on there.
Okay.
And you remember the 860 out of Lawrence,
yeah.
WLBG?
Yeah.
I heard them like over the weekend, and they just played like smooth music and loops, and they have saying WLBG, Lawrence, and then player pedal lose like WBT and Charlotte did.
Really?
But except with no voiceover saying. Yep.
Well, that's interesting. I wonder what
they're
doing.
I don't know if they're back. Yeah, because you know that's called stunting, right?
Yeah, well, it is stunting depending, but I mean, with BT, we're kind of stretching that now. It's been months.
Yeah, since January. Since
yeah, right. So,
doing...
no, I don't. I just call that a disaster. So interesting. Interesting. All right.
Yeah, you think other stations did that before?
Oh, stunting? Yeah, but usually it's for 24 hours or 2 days or, you know, not long. You know, a week maybe.
I got a stupid question for you.
All right.
What if WGN happened to do that one time?
They wouldn't do it. WGN is so much better than that.
It's better than WBT or WSBI.
Remember, WBT now is not what it was when it was owned by Jefferson Pilot, all right? We're not, the call letters are the same, but nothing else is.
Yeah, and you think that's just a waste of airtime playing repetitive loop music?
Well, I don't understand what their game plan is. Obviously, to keep the station licensed, they've got to... you know, they've got to be on the air. That I get. But why they would do that, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I just don't know why they would do that. But, you know, none of us know. A lot of people are talking about it. And everybody expected when they moved over to FM, I think it was late December, then they started doing the loop that you hear, that it was temporary. And everybody figured, well, at some point in January, we'll know. But the loop is still there. So I don't know what they're getting. You know, you'd have to talk to them, not me.
Yeah, what if they don't have a phone number?
Well, answering the phone might be different than a phone number. So I don't know. They're not going to tell you anyway, so don't bother to call.
Yeah, you remember this show, A Different World, right?
Sure.
You know they got a reboot coming out this fall on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah, and I almost auditioned to be in A Different World because, you know, they're filming their episodes in Atlanta.
Because
it's closer to me.
Okay.
Yeah, because I almost got on the show, but it was too late. Maybe if they have a second season, I'll try.
Well, good luck.
And I would, if I happened to be on the show, I would have been Dwayne Wayne's long-lost brother,
All right.
Brian Wayne, that's played by Kadeem Hardison.
Okay.
And, or else I could have played Jennifer Lewis's character, a long lost son named Connor Davenport, because she played the dean on there in the final season.
I'm in commercials, so we're out of time.
Okay.
Yep, we're off the air is what we are. We're in the news. And so, yeah, well, good luck on that. Sorry you didn't get on it, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks. All right, so I don't know what to say, and so I'll say nothing until after the news.
Nobody cares about me. Ain't even got a friend. Baby's gone and left me. When will my troubles end? Black night is falling. Oh, I hate to be alone. I keep crying for my baby, but not another day is gone. I've got no one to talk with, to tell my troubles to. Don't even know I'm living since I lost you. Black night is falling. Oh, I hate to be alone. I keep crying for my baby, but not another day is gone.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Charles Brown. Yeah, if the voice sounds really familiar to you, probably Merry Christmas, Baby, but I'll get to that. That was 1951 on Aladdin as Black Knight, and Don in Beloit wanted to hear that. And, you know, it's always said in the music business, you know, if you need a retirement plan, just write a great Christmas song. Yeah, that'll do it. And that's exactly what Charles Brown did, and well known for his blues style, and a big influence too on people in the 40s and the 50s. But he 1960, he wrote Merry Christmas Baby, and to this day you will hear that at Christmas time, and that would do it as far as that goes. And yeah, born in 1922 in Texas City, and died, sadly, in the San Francisco Bay Area on January 21st, 1999. But number of things along the way. But yeah, I'll tell you what, that Christmas song, that really did it. But he played with everybody from, you know, Louis Jordan to Winoni Harris and on and on and on. So, and he was a very big deal. In fact, the flip side of Black Knight is Get Yourself Another Fool, which was a big hit for him. And then, of course, Trouble Blues. And Black Knight came out in 51. And again, it was a B-side originally, but and that was number one for 14 weeks. And yeah, Aladdin was doing really well with him right about the time. And he then wound up going to New Orleans. In fact, he recorded a lot of stuff at Cosimo Matassa's studio in New Orleans. But really, it just wasn't the same thing. Please Come Home for Christmas was on King. And like I say, to this day, and that was 1960. Before the decade was over, it already had sold over 1 million copies. I think he got a gold record for that in 1968. So, man, that's the way to do it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Eric is in Minneapolis. What's up tonight, Eric?
Oh, nothing going on but the rent here, Raleigh, but I've enjoyed you listening to you be a life coach to everybody in the audience here tonight.
poor Cindy. Yeah. Yeah.
So, honestly, you should get a fee. Like, it should be somehow worked into your contract with GN that you get a life coaching fee for.
No. There is no contract. Trust me about that. I don't do contracts. So, yeah. But no. And, you know, God knows I don't even want to play a doctor on the radio. And hopefully people will realize I'm just a disc jockey who talks too much. But maybe Cindy will get something out of it. Who knows?
So, I mean, are you saying that you're just doing this as a labor of love?
No, I'm not doing it as a I'm doing this because somebody who saved me so many times, saved me from myself and my career, is part of Nexstar, and he asked me as a favor to do it. He was very smart initially because he said, "Oh, just Sunday nights," and then it was, "Well, just fill in a little," and then it was, and so when he, I guess it was Labor Day of 1990 when he said, "Well, will you do weeknights?" I said, "Not five of them." He says, "Okay, do four," and so, but he was also very smart because while I would literally do anything for him, he says, "Jump," I say, "How high?" The reality is, he also knows that I'm money motivated, so he threw some at me, and here I sit.
Well,
but if he ever leaves, if you ever hear that he's leaving, you will know that I leave the following day.
Oh boy! Well, I hope that day is far off in the future.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. No, I just hope his career is everything he wants it to be because he deserves all of it and more.
Jay, I was wondering, I was really curious if you had ever heard, I'm sure you've probably heard of him, but I don't know if you've ever heard any of his bits. And he's kind of well-traveled, but it's one Mr. Phil Hendry.
Oh, of course.
The man
of course.
Many voices.
Absolutely. You know, I'll tell you how Phil came about those voices, actually. It was desperation. Phil was a Los Angeles boy. He grew up in, I think, not Altadena, but Arcadia, one of the east suburbs. And
Arcadia, yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Right, yeah. And he, you know, he was a big Emperor Bob Hudson fan, and KRLA, big station for everybody in his age group, really, for a while. But anyway, he wound up getting on the air, and he had done, I think it was a weekend shift at KFI or whatever. But anyway, things changed. He needed work, and I think it was KBEN in Ventura, if I'm not mistaken. But what he discovered, which you would quickly discover on a station in a size of a market like Ventura, is that you're probably not going to get any calls. You know, that's exactly what happened to me in Rockford. Well, but he was very clever. What he did was he invented callers. And, you know, through his voice. In fact, he was so good at that. It wasn't recorded. He just was able to do this and just a master of this. And I his first guy was somebody who was like some Iraqi who was defending Saddam Hussein. And I'll tell you what, the floodgates opened and call after call. And that's what started it. And, you know, the thing about this is, once you know what he can do, and he had a number of, you know, characters, Bobby Dooley and everybody else, and they were just all hilarious. The reality, though, was once you knew what the trick was and you knew and you were amazed he could do it, but he did it, then every day the show has to keep being as entertaining. And sometimes they were, and sometimes maybe not as much. You know, and that was one of the things. But everybody who has heard Henry over the year remembers some bits. My favorite was when he was selling guns in South Central L.A. and he was having the prospective buyers try them out. And he said, "Now remember, aim straight up." And of course, as he's doing this, all the people who are listening who aren't in on the joke, because it works two ways: the people who get it and think it's hilarious, and the people who fall for it and become part of the hilarity. And so
that's exactly right.
Yeah, it was good stuff. He went to IOD in Miami for a while. In fact, that's the last time I actually saw him in person. I waved to him and he went back at WIOD. So that's got to be 30 years ago.
He the stations at high, you know, like he was around, like he was at the Twin Tundras up at CCO for a while as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I think that
I think
was
he left
part
CCO
of the
show to go to IOD.
I don't, was he at CCO live or were they carrying the show?
I think he was living there and he was like live there, yeah.
Okay.
Like, I thought, because I remember him in California, because KVEN was they're a Dodger affiliate. That little station in Ventura.
Well, of course they are.
They used to carry Dodger games.
Yeah. 1520, licensed to Port Hueneme.
Yeah, because if I couldn't get a good signal where I was to catch a Dodger game, I would stream VEN. Okay. And they were one of the stations where you would actually get the stream because some of them would black it out or they would, you know, you wouldn't.
They geofence it, right? And also, depending on their arrangement with the games, they might, they're probably supposed to not carry it, but KVEN probably didn't care. So there they were.
Well, that's what I used to do when I wanted to stream certain things. I'd try to find a smaller town kind of station that did streaming, that at least had streaming. And because I figured, well, it might be some kind of young person in there, might be half asleep late at night or something. And they'd forget to do whatever they were supposed to do to block it out. And you'd be able to get it.
Yeah.
But you might have to, like, search around for a while and everything. But it actually was kind of a game, you know, like a challenge to try to pull that off sometimes. But yeah, so the radio stations, they were always concerned. They always had to walk kind of a fine line between him, like, offending, because the people that weren't in on it, some of it, like the Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley character, which is one of my favorites,
right,
they would really work people into a frenzy,
right,
as you well know. And so when the people would call in, they would be so emotional and so driven. And he was, he was a genius, like going back and forth.
Right.
His timing of when to, like, say certain things and then bring Steve Dooley into the conversation once in a while. And he was totally dominated by Bobby Dooley. And she would tell him to shut up sometimes or I'll take care of this caller or whatever. I mean, it was just so brilliant and so funny. But, the stations, what I heard about it was, they were concerned, over those kind of things because,
of course,
they would get a lot of complaints about the thing and then, whatever. But then again, he would bring in an audience, like he was good for the station, obviously, for revenue and stuff. And that's always the bottom line, I suppose. But they still had to walk that fine line. So, he went from that little KVEN, and then he was in CCO, and then he was down at IOD, and then I think, didn't he get back out to KFI?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, a couple different times, yes. And then, of course, Premiere had it syndicated for a while as well. There was a documentary that came out 2 years ago, and I must admit I haven't seen it, but it's probably online, I don't know, but there is a documentary on him. It's called Hendry. So that
okay.
I know. But what you're talking about what the stations were fearful for, the problem is that a lot of national advertisers, not the majority, but enough, will not allow commercials to run on stations that embrace controversy. And so, like when Howard Stern was terrestrial, there were people who wouldn't allow his show, commercials on a station carrying his show. Rush Limbaugh, same thing, not going to run any commercials on a station carrying Rush. Well, when Hendry's busy doing Bobby Dooley and everything else, you're treading that, that line. And I think some stations were like, oh, God, we don't want controversy, which is a shame. I thought he was hilarious.
He had that other character called Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Owner.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And you remember Ted's biggest claim to fame, he said, was Ted apparently or supposedly invented the tinfoil baked
right,
potato.
Right, right.
He was the first one to do that.
Right.
Put a baked potato in tinfoil.
Yeah, it was clever, very, very clever stuff. Now, when he left KFI the last time, and he was on Talk Radio Network for a while, which was a disaster for everybody involved with that, but when he left the last time, he claimed it was to do more television, and he has done some television. I don't know if he's still doing that or what. He's probably at the stage in life where he can decide he's doing nothing. But he was on a number of shows, mostly in one-offs and stuff like that. But some more than that. So hey, I hope whatever he's doing, it's what he wants to do.
Yeah. No, I'm glad that you are aware of it and heard some of the bits.
Oh, yeah.
They're timeless. I mean, they never they never get old. I mean, you could go back and, because a lot of that stuff was in the 90s and whatnot, and
yeah,
the early 2000s, whatnot. So, I mean, but it's still like you can pick it up and listen to it, and it's just like, oh,
yeah,
still, I mean,
and he's doing right.
Really is.
He's doing that in real time, and it's not taped. You know, he's absolutely throwing his voice, and it's great. You know, you can watch him do it, and
yeah,
good for him.
It's real artistry, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really a brilliant bit, because if you're on one of those stations where you're just not getting callers, you got to do something, you know? I mean, for a couple of weeks, I was just in tears every time I'd leave. Then finally, I realized I had to perfect the art of the four-hour monologue, which is what I wound up doing. But in his case, he came up with just a brilliant bit. Now, not everybody could do it, because not everybody has the capability to do the voicing, but it was just absolutely brilliant.
Now, let me ask you, did you know about that it was a bit before
oh, yeah.
you started listening?
Yeah.
Okay, so you had heard about it, and so you started listening to it. So, I mean, it didn't catch you off guard or anything like that.
No, I knew what it was. But as I say, I remember hearing some of those first shows on KVEN, and I thought to myself, oh, the poor bastard. You know, because I know exactly what it's like to do this and not get callers.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
So yeah, just... And KVEN used to be KACY. This was a legendary top 40 station in Ventura. And for years, this was just a killer, killer radio station. So, yeah, so it certainly had the history. But, you know, by the time it was KVEN, well, some people listened and not many, because, of course, you know, it didn't really have that much of a signal and where it was and all those things. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
No, I just knew it from the Dodger broadcast.
Right.
Whatnot. When I was living out there,
sure.
I would sometimes tune into that and pick that station up and whatnot instead of listening to the what do they call it? The major station, I think, was
KABC.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, 790. Yep, well, absolutely.
What's the name they call it? Not the hub station, but they call it the
flagship.
When it's like the
flagship.
Flagship, yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
Well, it's funny station. Because a friend of mine is no longer alive, John Rook. When he was at KFI, he gave up the Dodgers, and that's how they got on that 790 signal. And many, many years later, decades later, he was at KABC, and I said, so are you going to give up the Dodgers again? He said, yeah, and he did. It's pretty, you know, I thought, well, he certainly was responsible for much more, including WLS's best years and some of CFL's best sounds ever. I mean, he was great, but I always used to tease him about the Dodgers.
I heard you the other night, you were talking about that used to work for the Reds, like you were doing.
Oh, well, right. Yeah, I did.
Well,
not for the Reds, for the radio station. Yeah, I'd be the board op. And
you were one of the affiliate stations?
Yeah, at the affiliate stations, and for a while I did it at the flagship. The flagship at the time was WLW, and they were nothing if not, well, we used to say it stood for world's lowest wages, but anyhow, the way it worked was there were two banks of car machines, and there was the local bank and there was the national bank, and every now and then I'd screw them up. You know, so like the Borcherding Buick spot would run down the network, and their tagline was like, it's a bit of a drive, but it's worth it. And I'd be like, it's a hell of a drive for many of you, not worth it. But no. So that didn't last too long.
Oh.
But then, yeah, I did it for almost a year in Louisville. And and like I'd mentioned before, back then Marty Brenneman was their main guy, but Joe Nuxall, good old Joe, would do the second and the eighth inning. And the out cue was the score. But Joe liked to drink, so the second inning usually be okay. But by the eighth inning, I didn't always recognize the score. So, you know, half of those Cincinnati spots would just go right through. So, absolutely. I remember it well.
Hey, I was going to wonder, I was wondering if I could get a request.
All right, what do I hear?
I'll give you a second there. But
I'm ready. I got my pen and paper ready for Eric from Minneapolis.
Okay.
What is it?
So, I want to go with... you know, Chicago did some covers of big band numbers many years ago on an album, and I wanted to hear the standard Take the A-Train.
Okay.
I'll do it. And because Robert does the vocals on that one.
I'll do it for you. You'll hear it.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
And I'll call you next week or whenever you're back on.
Sounds great. I look forward to it. Thanks. All right, so we'll check out the news and be back to it on WGN Radio.
City. Brooklyn, oh, on Broadway train. Is kind of pretty. Take your baby somewhere riding. That's where romance may be hiding.
Let's take a ride.
You should take the A train to get to Sugar Hill way up in Harlem.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Take the A Train. That was Billy Strayhorn who wrote the music for that. And that is from Chicago. 1995, they did an album of big band type things. Night and Day was the title. And arguably, that's the best thing on it as far as that goes. And yeah, Don't Get Around Much Anymore is interesting too. So in any event, but yeah, Billy Strayhorn was quite the bon vivant, so to speak. And that song, Take the A Train, has been recorded over 1,000 times. Now, who wrote the music? Ah, well, that's where the fight begins. Some say it's Joya Sherrill. Others say it was the Delta Rhythm Boys. Then some say it was Lee Gaines. And the copyright records just show Billy Strayhorn for both words and music. So that's the only attribution we have. But there was a real question about who wrote that music, who wrote those words, and I don't know. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And Robert is in LaGrange. What's happening, Robert? Well, I don't know. We lost Robert. Well, it had been a while. Yes, he probably opted for sleep. Sleep is sacred. If you can get any, always take that. But when you can't, happy to keep you company. Dave is on the north side. So, all right, Dave, you still with us?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, what's up?
Your songs you played tonight, Charles Brown.
Yeah.
Black Knight.
Yeah.
And the other one before it, I can't remember it.
Well, probably Big Bill Brunzi, Looking Up at Down.
Yeah, that was him.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You said those were Don and Beloit, but actually that was
for me. For you? All right, well, I got the wrong person, but I'm glad you heard him.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I didn't want to make it too big of a deal.
Oh, no, absolutely. Well, you know, my memory on this is terrible, and I probably wrote down something he wanted next to it, and now who knows what it was. But I'm glad you heard it.
Yeah, I think he was... I don't remember exactly, but I think he might have been requesting for the Spanish People You Liked.
Oh, I don't know. Or maybe he was the Vashti Bunyan. I saw 17 Pink...
Yeah, that might be.
17 Pink Sugar Elephants. Okay, well...
Yeah, I think so.
I'll try that next then. Pink Sugar Elephants. All right.
Okay, now I got a couple of things I'm wondering about. A while back on the trivia, you did a question where it said 4 out of 5 people do this first, and the answer was put their right sock on.
Yeah.
And you ever said you're going to watch yourself and see if you notice if you did it or not.
Yes, I absolutely did that, and I'm horrified to admit, no, I don't. More often than not, I put my left side on first.
Yeah, I was talking to my girlfriend about it, and I think it just has to do... I don't think the survey is right. I think it has to do with what hand you are, if you're left-handed or right-handed.
Yeah, but I'm right-handed.
So do you put your left sock on first?
Yes.
I think that's because you grab your sock with your right hand.
Maybe. No, I think I am grabbing it with my left hand, but that's neither here nor there. Those things are so crazy. Who knows?
Okay, well, that's what I think is, like, most people reach out with the hand that if they're left-handed, they reach out with their left hand, and the right hand, they reach out with the right hand.
Okay, all right.
And then I want to request a sign for. And this one, I want to request it to Cindy and Norwich, or whatever.
Okay.
It's called "Getting Old Is a Drag" by the Rolling Stones.
Okay. All right.
That's kind of a mean joke towards her.
Well, and of course they would.
She's having a hard time.
And the Rolling Stones would know. Yes, if anybody would, it's the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. She sounds like she's having a rough time, so I hope she gets a laugh out of it. Then another thing, a lot of times when you talk to people, you say like initials for things like DX. I wonder what that means.
Distance. It's short for distance.
Okay. Yeah. When you talk to people, the person you're talking to, it's like you and him know, but I don't. And I know my girlfriend, we always like, what are they, what are these little initials for and stuff? So.
Yeah, well, no, DXing is, because the abbreviation for distance, when you're listening to distant stations, it's DXing just because of that.
Okay, I hear you say differential, so I thought it might have been differential.
Nope, it's just direct, just an
direct or something.
Easy abbreviation for distance.
Okay. And then I was trying to think for X, like external or something, but so I had no clue.
Okay,
I don't know much.
Here it goes to the telegraph. DX is telegraphic shorthand for distant.
Okay.
So that's where it comes from. It comes from directly, the telegraph days, and so then. Now the next thing is you're saying, what's a QSL card? And that's a written communication that you actually received the signal in question. And so it's very often it's a postcard, but not always. QSL comes from the Q codes. And so that was that's the deal. So, if you say QSL ? It means do you confirm receipt of my transmission? And QSL without a question mark is, I confirm receipt of your transmission.
Interesting.
So, yeah, telegraph was interesting all the way around.
And you said you lived in Florida a lot. Mostly you're what, on the East Coast? Or?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, yeah, I lived in Fort Myers for a while.
Okay, yes. That area's grown. Boy, has that grown. I remember when it was absolutely nothing. They were selling waterfront property, and it was underwater.
Yeah, I lost my beach house. I miss it.
Oh, yeah.
Can I request a song called Swing Shift? I don't know who does it.
All right, Swing Shift?
I hear it on DCB. Saturday morning, a guy does 2 hours and calls it a Swing Shift.
Yeah, Count Basie is the most famous for that.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. But there are other, I think Harold Arlen and Johnny Mercer wrote it. And it's like a war song.
Yeah, because he's like, I love to be on the swing shift, you could put me on your wing too.
Yeah, right. And it's about a romance between workers in an aircraft factory.
Right, okay.
So that's what it comes from.
Yeah, I love that. It's like a smooth, almost like a smooth jazz. It's sweet.
Mel Torme has a version of it, and so does George Shearing as far as that goes. In fact, they have one together. So, mostly I think it Count Basie, but, sure.
Okay, and then one last thing. You talk about a band or someone named Shomal.
Oh no, that was a record label. That's my holy grail. Shomal number one. It was one record on one label that never had any other records, and no one knows what this label is. Absolutely no one. I've got the record. And Val Shively has the record. Several of us have the record. And for years, I thought, I tried to find it out. I thought Shamal was like a name. And so I actually called people around the country named Shamal, asking if they knew anything about this. And of course, none of them did. I realized looking at it later, looking at the label, the CHA, and then it says records, and then the MAL, you know, that's vertical, the CHA and MAL. I think it is a contraction of two different people's names, but no one knows. It's just this one song, you know, by a group no one knows. And see, that's the other thing in this is that, you know, it's a song that Blue Moon, that everybody and their brother has done. But the deal is this one version. And so it's by a group, the Vitones, V-I-Tones. But the problem is there's several groups known as the Vitones, and none of them is this. And we know by virtue of copyrights that it came out in June of 1962. So I know it's Shamal. I've got it. It's a white label with red lines and blue lettering where it says CH and then CHA and then records MAL. But who the hell they are, who knows? Obviously, the song was written by Rodgers and Hart, so that means nothing. I mean, 1,000 people have recorded it, and the publisher won't tell us anything either because that goes with Rodgers and Hart. All it says underneath it is, with Billy Harrington Quartet. And there was a Billy Harrington, but not in the right years for this record, not 1962. So I am at a loss. That's the Holy Grail. What is Shamal Records? What? Who were the Billy Harrington Quartet? Who was in the Vitones? And, you know, I mean, the lead is a woman, and I've never heard her before, and I've never heard her since. I'll play you some of it if you don't remember it. And the deal is no one knows about this other than we know it exists. We've got it. But what's the deal? A professional singer, and you can hear the accent through it, but I just love that song, and I know absolutely nothing about it.
Okay, so the song is called Blue Moon?
Yeah, and that's been done by over 1,000 people.
I've heard that on WDCB.
Well, but not this version.
Probably not.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I'm going to call and ask them about it.
Well, okay.
I was actually talking about you and your program. And stuff,
okay, then so. Here's what I want to know. Again, the group is on the label, says V-I-T-O-N-E-S, Vitones. It is none of the Vitones that you'll find online. And the label is Shamal, C-H-A-M-A-L. But I think it's an abbreviation of C-H-A and M-A-L. That's okay. All I know. There's no other notes on the label or, you know, in the record where I could tell you anything about where it comes from. Don't know.
Okay, let me see. Is it Vitones?
Yeah, V-I-T-O-N-E-S. But there's many Vitones online. There's several groups who have had that name.
Spelled with a B.
No, with a V. V like Victor.
Oh, V.
It's
okay.
V like Victor. And yes, okay. Like I say, several have that name. None of them that you'll find online are this group.
Okay, so the Blues Moon by the Vitones.
On Shamal.
Shamal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I've heard that song, and actually I heard that girl. She sounds like a black lady.
I assume that's true. But
I can't think who she was, but she sounds familiar though.
Well, she doesn't to me. So if she does to you, that's great. I'd like to know from what. I can't pick up anything other than this that I would attribute to her. But I'll take any information I can get. And there are many of us who wonder about this particular song.
Just in the last 6 weeks, I've heard that song at Saturday 11 in the morning hour.
All right. Well, they may just be playing it from a CD where it's probably on a lot of CDs, and of course they might have the 45. But if they're playing it from the
these guys are like 80 years old. They got a lot of.
All right. Well, that's great.
I'll ask them about it, and I'll get back to you about it.
Yeah. No, I'd love to know. And again, if they've got the record, there's nothing on the label that will give you any more information than I just gave you. That's it.
Yeah, because all the people that call in, you talked about it, made me wonder. I was like, I gotta check in to see if I can.
Yeah. Shamal Records. Yeah. Every time I send money to Sound Exchange, they're supposed to pay the labels and the artists. I'm thinking they ain't paying Shamal, and they're not paying the right tones.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well,
I appreciate
playing
my music and that, and enjoying your show and that. I just wish I understood. I'm not old enough for you.
All the initials you're talking about, you can look up the Q codes and find out what all of them are, and it's probably right that way online, Q codes. And as far as DX, it comes from early telegraphs, and all those initials are there too.
But you know what? I'm like you. My memory's shot, and by tomorrow morning, I'll probably forget about it.
Well, and then it won't matter, will it?
All right. No, probably not. Okay. Sandy likes Cindy. Nothing matters.
Right, exactly. Okay, thanks. Okay, bye. Yeah, what is it? Don't sweat the small stuff. It's all small stuff. Well, this isn't coming up on WGN Radio.
I saw 17 pink sugar elephants sitting under a chestnut tree. Said good morning, pink sugar elephants, but they wouldn't speak to me. Each had two eyes, but they couldn't see me there. Each had four legs, but they couldn't go anywhere. And so we just sat that early autumn morning, sun not yet risen, and magic everywhere. Speak to me, but he was a factory made pink sugar elephant, given to children for treats after tea. He had two eyes, but he couldn't see.
WGN Radio. Maybe it was Donna Blue. I don't know who wanted to hear Vashti Bunyan. She actually recorded that in 1966, and I don't think it was released for a really long time. There was an album that came out about 20 years ago now that had singles and demos, 64 to 67, and it was on that. But, I love the way they say singles. What singles? I never found it as a single. But that's 17 Pink Sugar Elephants. And I think he also wanted to hear, what was the other one, the train thing? You're right, the train thing. Yeah, that's what it was. All right, so Ryan is in Sandwich. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, how are you doing?
All right, you tell me, Ryan, what's going on?
Oh, not much. I listened to you a lot and just wanted to say hi. And
how nice.
Wanted to pick your brain. What's that?
I said, how nice. I'm delighted to hear from you.
Yeah. I was wondering if you knew much of, I know our radio station out here is WSPY. You know much about that?
Well, the FM mostly. Now, wait a minute. No, I'll just say no, because the call letters I know belong to Salisbury, Maryland. It's on the Delmarva Peninsula. So is this an AM station?
Well, they do have an AM station.
But are you sure it's S like Sam, B like boy, Y like young?
Yes.
Really? Is it licensed to Sandwich?
I guess. I don't know. I'm not much of a radio guy on that part, but they do have AM.
Well, wait a minute. Is this WSP like W like spy? P like Peter. It's not SBY, it's spy. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, small town radio. I think aren't they like in Plano?
But, yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Great radio station. I mean, I've grown up with them. I'm 47 years old.
No, it is wonderful because they still have local personalities. Sadly, I guess Ray Schultz died like a week ago, and people knew him for years, Catfish. And that was sad. But I'm sure there are others who are still there, and you will, it's like small market radio. You'll hear the obits and all that kind of stuff, of course.
Yeah, it is. It's been a great radio station. I love them.
Yeah, and they're still around, and they're still live and local, and you really got to respect that.
Oh, yeah. That's what I do. And I love that what you do on the radio with, just like that,
Yeah. No, I am aware of that radio station and the FM, that 107, I think it's like 107.1. And that...
Yes, it is.
Okay, they came on, I think, in the 70s, like the mid-70s. And it was a couple, Larry and Pam. It was Larry and Pam. They probably still own it, for all I know.
As far as I know, they do too.
Well, you know what? I realized we're off the air. I've run out of time. So call me earlier. Oh. I can't believe it. Yeah, WGN's in news. You and I are just talking on the stream. But call me earlier some night and we'll talk more.
I will.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Hey, Larry James, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Not Larry.
Very good. All right. So you're listening on the stream at this point, and we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for streaming your calls. And 2020 News is next, and we're back tomorrow night right after the Stanley Cup Finals, whenever that is.
Gunning with the Devils, plus Strip Club and the Sauced Weekend. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News, real stories, real fun. Zero Sharks 30, Greased frightening on the night Chicago flied, Windy City Popo out of the loop and outpaced by a posse of punks like brats out of hell, who held up at least 5 Vicks in a half hour of horror in the wee small hours, their greed for speed a well-oiled routine, all in 30 minutes or else. The Rome chopping network faster than the greed of flight, strife in the fast lane as Chi-Town cops left in the gust by the fast and the impervious. Thrash dance, take this pole and hurl it, blast call for a Miami stripper whose firing makes her girl gone riled, booty brawl picks up a pole coppers say and lets it fly at her boss, he's okay, but her junkyard javelin jousting lands her in lockup, just the tip of the spear since pole falter supposedly had a history of hell raising against her sister strippers, custody in the clink, likely to mean submitting to a strip search. Swingbreaker, the palm breach story. Punched drunk inside the lobby at the fancy schmancy Breakers Resort as some purportedly plastered piece of work from Houston had a problem or two with some other woman. Texas Spew Step was hollering and hankering to hammer the target of her tirade when the popo pulled up on the pickled perp cops claim. The Heat say they tried to turn down the temp, but Lone Star State kept caterwauling, so they hauled her off to the drunk tank to chill out. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.